Welcome back, everybody. As we approach this Easter holiday, I thought it would be appropriate to have one of the world's foremost authorities on ancient religions and their impact on the current political and religious power structure of our world back on the show tonight. He is, of course, Jordan Maxwell, author, scholar, and lecturer, who has consulted on many, many projects, including three CBS television network specials on ancient religions. He's been on over 450 radio programs, many more TV programs on top of that. Jordan has been regaling us with some remarkable insights, scholarly research to be sure, about the origins of our current religions, about ancient religions and early humankind on this planet, how they viewed the sky, the sun, and so forth, and how all of those impressions and viewpoints are still with us today, although they have been changed and have gone through certainly a number of metamorphoses over the centuries and, in fact, thousands of years. Let us jump right to the nub of the issue now, Jordan. In your opinion, after all of your years of research, who was Jesus Christ according to first century scholars in comparison to the modern teachings of organized religions?
Well, I'll tell you what, that is a question. There's no doubt about that.
We have another hour, so let's try and move through it, though, fairly quickly, because
well,
it's so complex.
Let me just say this. First of all, I have the highest respect for the teachings that are attributed to the man Jesus, the things which are said in the scriptures by the man Jesus and by Jesus. I have the highest respect for, and I honor those words because they're
timeless.
They're timeless and they're profound and they're true, and so I have no problem with that. Now, as to who, in fact, the man, in fact, was, there is a lot, as you know, all kinds of conjecture on that point. He very well could have been a rabbi, an Essenic rabbi. He very well could have been a Zadokite, or one of what we call the rebels, or the revolutionary Zadokites. He could have, and I tend to think probably he was a rabbi of the Essenic tradition. However, what would have been his name? His name would not have been Jesus Christ. That's Greek. It would have been Yahushua or Yahushua ben Pindera or Yahushua ben Joseph. There's just too much evidence that that the stories about the person of Jesus has been manipulated, exploited, added to. And we know that happens in every other, in government.
Yes.
And in banking and every other institution in the world.
Of course.
Has been manipulated, exploited, and half-truths. Well, then what leads us to believe that what we understand about the man Jesus today is the absolute sovereign truth and the bottom line of the story, when we know that it's come down for 2,000 years and there's been nothing on this earth for the last 2,000 years but corruption and violence and manipulation.
And for the faithful and devoted to question that in an organized religious structure is not very smart.
No, I know that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say something I really believe needs to be said. Most of your audience, I am sure, are very concerned about the political system that we have going in this country today, and the troubles that we are seeing all over the world, in Bosnia, Yugoslavia, Vietnam, all over the world, the tragedies and things which are happening. And especially our Americans and Christians are very vocal about their concern about this government, our government, where we're going, this New World Order, United Nations, etc., etc. All of these things are paramount on the minds of everyone, but especially Christians are concerned about. I am of the opinion that the reason why we in this country are able to worry ourselves to death and to bite our nails to the quick and concern ourselves with all of these problems, but nothing ever seems to get done. Nothing ever seems to be better. Nothing ever seems to start working, you know, the right way for us, for the people. Nothing ever seems to get done. We're just having more and more intelligent people explain to us all the problems and how we're being manipulated and exploited. But nothing seems to get done.
No solutions.
No solutions. And I'll tell you why. I believe the reason why is we're looking in the wrong place. And the powers that be in the world that we live in know that we are looking in the wrong place, and they know that we would never look in the right place, and consequently, they're not really too concerned about us, the citizens of this country. They're not really way down deep concerned about us because they know we don't know what's going on.
Well, we're the uninitiated.
That's it. And they are the enlightened ones. And they are the worshipers of El, and that's why we call them the Elites. And once you understand...
Or the Elders.
Or the Elders, exactly. That's where it comes from. Now, once you understand where the real problems of this country and of the world, in fact, reside, and what is actually transpiring on the world stage, and understand it for the first time, now you're going to see why we are in serious trouble, because no one has taken the time to see it. And that is religion, the church. I believe that the problems that we are facing in America can be traced back to the church itself. Because while the teachings of Christianity are high and honorable, and I have the highest respect for, in point of fact, our government, the United States federal government, is in point of fact based on the judicial and the lawful premise of the Catholic Church coming out of Europe, coming out of the Renaissance, the international banking cartels that we have in our country today, the banking establishment, the governmental establishment, and the church establishment are all, in point of fact, one. And until such time as we understand that the United States federal government is, in point of fact, based on the Roman Empire and the papacy coming out of the Renaissance, coming out of the Middle Ages, from the Renaissance into England, and the break of King Henry with the Church of Rome, and establishing the Church of England, and then that bleeding over into our country.
Jeff, Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
That when you go into Washington, D.C., you will see our capital. Well, in the ancient Roman Empire, the Caesars rule from something called Capitol Hill.
Yes, that's what you said.
Yeah, and that's what we have, Capitol Hill. And Caesars of Rome had the Senate. Well, the Senate comes to the United States through the Catholic Church, because the hierarchy of the Catholic Church in Rome at the fall of the Roman Empire, all the way down till the time that Rome now comes into our country, the hierarchy of the Catholic Church is in point of fact referred to in their own writing as the Catholic Senate. And it comes directly out of the Roman Senate. And consequently, if you go to Washington, D.C., and look at the symbol, the emblem of the Senate, of the United States Senate, look at the emblem. On the bottom, it says it's a round plaque, and it says the United States Senate, and on the bottom of the plaque are two Roman fasces, the symbols of world fascism. The symbols of world fascism are the symbols for our United States Senate. Our laws, our jurisdictional decisions, our judicial arrangements, our elections, it is all based on the Roman Empire that gave power to the papacy at the fall of the Roman Empire, and then coming down through the, as I said, through the Renaissance or the Age of Enlightenment, giving power to then England with the Church of England, which is basically the Roman Catholic Church with a British accent, and then coming into America, we have the Roman Catholic Church representing the Caesars of Rome, and every vestige of our government today is the church. And until such time as the people are made aware and are ready to look at the real truth behind where the United Nations comes from, why the chief state in our union is called New York, and understand the York Rite Freemasonry coming from the Duke of York in England, connecting to the church, the York Rite, the Scottish Rite. Once you understand the secret societies and the fraternal orders coming out of Europe, coming out of the Roman Empire, transferred into our modern day through the Roman Catholic Church, brought into England, and then transported into this country until such time as you have done your homework and understand how we have been manipulated by the so-called, quote, church, end quote, in this country, you're never going to get to the bottom of why we have the problems in America today.
That was just about a four-year college education compressed into about 3.5 minutes. You could follow any one of those pathways for miles. Do we know, Jordan, how much power the organized Catholic Church has in the world today? Has anyone ever really assayed it correctly? I would suspect from what you're saying that the levels are so many and deep that no one can truly have a complete handle on it.
That's exactly right. That's precisely right. The Jesuits don't even begin to explain. And the different orders, the Dominican order, it's the kind of thing that it's like a disease on your body that has, it's all inside of your body, but you don't see it on the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Until one day you start seeing little marks on the skins and little breakouts on the skin, and then you discover that your entire body is now covered inside with this thing that is now beginning to show itself on the outside.
And
that's exactly what we're seeing today. All of the horrible things which are happening in our country, the manipulation of our government by so-called special interests, I'm telling you, we need to look at where the problem lies. And the problem is someplace that most people would never touch, and that is the church. Again, I say, I have no problem with the teachings of the one called Jesus. I have the highest admiration for those words. But I am telling you that that institution that we're referring to as the church today is a political one. You have to understand that when I was growing up many years ago, probably 500 years ago, it feels like, my mother had an uncle who worked in the Vatican, Secretary of State's office. And he would come home every couple of years and talk to the family. And at that time, I had two uncles on my mother's side who were federal judges. My great-grandfather was a senator from the state of Florida.
Uh-huh.
I had Catholic and Jesuit priests in my family. So I grew up listening to politics, religion, Vatican, gossip, all kinds of things going on in the world that most people would never be privileged to know. And I am telling you, it didn't take me very long, even at a young age, to appreciate that the entire world structure and the Western civilization is, in fact, the church, period. And consequently, your Senate, your Congress, your laws, and this is why, of course, churches are not taxed, because they are the makers of your laws. And once you understand the terms, the catchphrases, the symbols, I mean, when you go into Washington, D.C., you see the Washington Monument. Washington Monument is an Egyptian obelisk.
Mm-hmm.
You have an Egyptian obelisk and right out in front of the Vatican, in the courtyard of the Vatican, you have the Egyptian obelisk, just as you have one here in America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Egyptian obelisk represents God's Son. It's called the Ben-Ben Stone, the Son of the Sun, the Ben-Ben Stone, which is directly connected to sex worship or the male phallic.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, the Washington Monument is the male phallic, and it connects directly to the female oval office. And if you understand the sexual symbolism of Washington, D.C., how it's laid out according to Roman law, and the religious emblems and symbols on our Supreme Court, on our financial institutions, we have a real problem here in this country because we have not looked in the right place.
All right, Jordan, time for another break. Just really an incredible amount of information to consider. We will be right back here at the end of the line with Jordan Maxwell. Asking about Jordan Maxwell's books and videos and so forth. Jordan, how do we get a list of your publications?
Let's see. We got an 800 number. My company is called Med Marketing, or M-E-D Marketing. So when you call the number, they'll say Med Marketing, but that's my number. It's my company, and it's 800, anytime, 24 hours a day, anytime, 800-551-5328. If you'd like a copy of the book Your Church Does Not Want You to Read, that's $19.95. And plus $4 postage and handling, so we're talking about $24.95. The book Your Church Does Not Want You to Read, it's filled with all kinds of authors. I'm one of the authors in there. And again, I said you can call anytime, 800-551-5328. And if you'd just like to call at any time, day or night, and just say we'd like to have more information on Jordan Maxwell and whatever, we'll just send you a whole catalog and some information, you know, free of charge.
Very good.
It doesn't cost you anything.
Well, Jordan, you've been studying this for many years, and there are few people who are as articulate as you are, and few people who have been kept off certain programs as you have.
Yeah, and you can appreciate why.
Yes. All right.
Let me give you something that I think is very important, and I think your audience will appreciate knowing.
All right.
The Messiah in the Old Testament is referred to in a strange and interesting way. I think it's in Psalms 118:22 in the Hebrew book of the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms 118:22. The Messiah is referred to as, quote, the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected, end quote.
Hmm.
Now, that's an interesting quote.
It is.
The chief cornerstone that the builders rejected, end quote. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus is twice referred to in the same way. I think it's in Peter and in the book of Revelation, Jesus, the person, is referred to as, quote, the chief cornerstone the builders rejected, end quote. Now, the word chief cornerstone in Hebrew in the book of Psalms is the same, means the same thing in the Greek for Jesus being the chief cornerstone. The word is translated meaning the peak of a pyramid. The triangle which sits atop of a pyramid is a chief cornerstone. And the reason why it is rejected, it is not sitting on the pyramid, it is raised above the pyramid. And consequently, that is the word in both the Hebrew and the Greek, in the Old Testament and the New, for the chief cornerstone, or the Messiah, Jesus, is the triangle which sits on top of the pyramid. And that's what the word means.
Hmm.
Go to any good Christian bookstore and get the reference works and look up chief cornerstone. Go to any good theological institution or library and do some research, and you will find out that both Jesus in the New Testament and the Messiah in the Old Testament is the triangle which sits on top of a pyramid.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And all right. Yeah, go ahead.
That tomb.
That's I've seen that triangle
right.
Here and there.
And, well, of course, and on the back of the dollar bill.
You bet.
Now you have to understand what does that symbol on the back of the dollar bill, with Jesus or the Messiah being the eye on top of the triangle, the chief cornerstone, what does that have to do with the new world order and, of course, the last days, the end times? It is all very much connected, and it is extremely easy to understand if you put away all of the preconceived ideas and just listen to somebody who knows what they're talking about and explaining it to you. It's very simple. Once you understand what the words mean, what they meant in Hebrew, what they meant in Greek, and what these symbols mean, and especially the derivation of the symbols and how we use that symbol today on the back of the $1 bill, and above the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill says Anuit Coeptus, and beneath, and which is Anuit Coeptus in Latin, which means basically our enterprise has been blessed with success, or our enterprise is crowned with success. And then you say, well, that's wonderful, but what enterprise are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the banner beneath the pyramid, it says Novas Ordo Cyclotum. Novas in Latin is new, Ordo in Latin is order, and Cyclotum is where we get the word secular. Secular means worldly, so therefore the new order of the world, Novas Ordo Cyclotum. the new order of the world, with Jesus or the Messiah being the chief cornerstone of the triangle which sits on top of the pyramid. And I'm saying to you that if you don't understand the symbolism and the arcane mysticism that is wrapped up in those symbols in the ancient world, the Roman world, and in ours today.
Yes, fascinating. All right, time for another pause here, and then we'll come back. We have callers holding. Thank you, callers, and we'll take those calls right after news here at the end of the line. Okay, we are back with Jordan Maxwell. Once again, the phone number to get a complete list of Jordan's materials or to order the book, which is entitled The Book Your Church Doesn't Want You to Read, call 1-800-551-5328, 1-800-551-5328, $19.95 plus $4 shipping and handling. Let's go to the phones now. Jeff has been patiently waiting, calling in
Jeff?
From Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Jeff,
yes,
are you there?
Here I am. Are you there?
You're on.
Hi, hi, Jeff. Hi, Jordan. This is the kind of stuff you don't get at Providence College in the Western Civilization course, which is a two-year course, and they never mention any of this stuff. My question is, Jordan, in any of your research, have you ever had any indication that the Bible mentions extraterrestrial influence or interference in the human race? Is there anything that says that? I think part of the Bible says that the sons of God mated with the daughters of men. Is that something that you ever came across?
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. That is a subject which I am very intimately involved for many, many years. And I've talked with many rabbis and many rabbinical teachers, and all are of the same opinion that I have talked with, that yes, there is a very definite story there that has been quietly and deceptively passed over because it might cause people too much confusion, so we don't want to talk about it. But the fact of the matter is that every single time in the Old Testament and the New Testament that an angel, and the word angel simply means an angel or messenger of God, every single time in the Old and New Testament that an angel appeared to anyone as a messenger from God, they always appeared in the form of a man. In Abraham's time, they were able to come in, sit down, have dinner with him, drink with him, and then get up and walk off. And then the scripture says this was the Almighty God with two accompanying angels every time. And of course, in Sodom and Gomorrah, the homosexuals thought they were good looking men, but men nonetheless. I am of the opinion, and so are many people in this field, that the Bible is telling us a story about extraterrestrials and life forms who have come here from another place. And of course, that's exactly what angels are. They're not from this earth. They're not from New York or Wisconsin. They are from out there. If they're from out there somewhere, that means they're extraterrestrial. And consequently, I am totally convinced that the Bible is telling us some very important things that we've been totally unaware of.
That leads me to my next question. The Dead Sea Scrolls, is there information contained within there that might shed some light on that whole issue? Is it being suppressed? Why is there just a certain group of scholars that kind of release information very slowly from those publications?
Well, I'll tell you what. Actually, the scholars who were in charge of it were not going to release it ever, period, and never going to release it. And the only reason why it is now in the hands of the common people is because certain people felt that the truth should be known and allowed those copies here in America to be reprinted and the research to be made public. I have two friends who are very, very knowledgeable on this subject, who have their PhDs in the subject and have written extensively. Dr. Robert Eiserman is probably, in my opinion, probably one of the most articulate and intelligent and well educated men in the field of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and he has been absolutely ridiculed, and it is an absolute crime what has happened to him. He has just about been run out of town by the establishment because he had the audacity to actually tell the working class people of the world what was really in the scrolls.
Well, they're trying. What's
in the scrolls?
A lot of things that the church would prefer you not know. One is that you cannot read the scrolls very long without knowing that so many of the stories, both in the Hebrew and the Christian stories, were already well in existence long before. For instance, many of the stories in the New Testament about Jesus were already well in existence and already being taught by the Essenic community 100 years before the man Jesus would have ever lived. Those stories were already around. So the church knows, and the authorities in the state of Israel and the authorities in the Catholic Church know that if you found out that all of those stories and all of these ideas that we believe to be true actually came from a far earlier group of people, and they understood them to be mythologies, that is going to cause some very serious problems. And the next thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to begin to look at, well, where is all of this taking us? I mean, all of the, you know, we have Americans dying in the Middle East to protect the turfs in the Middle East because this is God's chosen land and God's chosen people, et cetera, et cetera. And another thing that's in the Dead Sea Scrolls that I find fascinating is astrology. The ancient ones were very adept at astrology. And, of course, as I've said, so much of Judaism and Christianity today is, in fact, astrology. I mean, Jesus having 12 helpers of the 12 apostles, and of course, Joseph having 12 sons, and the 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12 great prophets of Israel, and the 12 gems on the breastplate of the high priest. Everything was in sequence of 12. That's why 12? Yeah. Because of the 12 signs of the zodiac.
Right. And don't forget a baker's dozen.
Well, of course, the 12 apostles plus the master teacher, Jesus, makes 13.
That's right.
Why 13 is the unlucky number. So what I'm saying is that all of these things, especially the church does not want you to know, that the whole basis of the Bible and the whole basis of Christianity is, in point of fact, quite literally, astrology. And if you don't understand that, and you don't know that the symbols, and you don't know what the terms mean, you're never going to pick up on why the church has condemned astrology. Obviously, the church has condemned astrology because they don't want you to know what they have always known.
And, of course, none of this detracts from the magnificence of the message in the Bible for one minute.
Heavens, no.
No.
And while we're on that subject, I want to clarify for everyone, I am not in any way condemning the Catholic people or the Protestant people or the Jewish people. I am talking about, quite literally, history, the history of theology and religion in the Western world. And until some such time as we are able in this country to intelligently speak about such things openly and without fear of retribution, we're never going to get to the bottom of why we are in the Middle East, why we are frightened to death that God's going to get us. And the rabbis know these things. I've talked with some very, very important rabbis over the years and compared notes with them. And they shrug their shoulders and say such things as, well, okay, so what? All right, so now you know. What are you going to do about it? And I'm just amazed at how many times the teachers in religion, and as I said, I grew up with a man, my mother's uncle, who worked in the Vatican. And I grew up listening to these stories about how all of these stories were manipulated and exploited and things were put together because the people wanted to hear, the people wanted to believe certain things, so the church would tell them what they want to believe.
We have to take a break now, Jordan. Very briefly, I mean, 30 seconds. Over how long a period of time was the contemporary Bible assembled?
Well, it's very up, you know, that's up for grabs because there's a lot of problems with that. But I would say probably like 1,400 years.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Maybe even less.
Okay. All right. And there was a big rewrite about 300 B.C. or A.D., correct?
There's been big rewrites all along.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. We have to pause. Jeff, if you'd like to hang on, you're certainly welcome to.
I think I'll go.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Bye-bye.
Got more than he bargained for there, Jordan. All right. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. Okay, we are back, and let's go to Rich on the phone now in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Rich. It's your turn to talk to Jordan.
Thanks. Good evening, Jeff. Another great program. We really appreciate your program out here.
Thank you very much, Rich.
I've got a couple of quick questions. One, Mr. Maxwell, what is the origin of the Jewish religion? If you could speak a little bit about that. And what is the word Yahweh mean, or where did it come from?
Jordan, be as brief as you can. We're getting short on time. I do want to try and answer as many questions as we can. Thank you.
Oh, I tell you, that's a very, very good question, especially the second one. Where does Yahweh come from? Yahweh is a very interesting word. It is not the name of a god. It is not a proper name. It is a descriptive term. It is describing something, Yahweh. And what it is describing, I don't want to talk about in mixed company on the air, but you can get that in my upcoming book. It's really actually directly connected to the sexual union, Yahweh. Hmm. And it has to do with the old volcano god in the Middle East. But to answer the first question, the actual derivation of what we call the Hebrew religion is actually Phoenician Canaanite. The Phoenician Canaanite, ancient Samaria is heavily involved in the formation of the concepts and ideas. You can go to any good library, and get look up Semitic religion, look up church history, and it will be all there. It will tell you exactly where the concepts and ideas in the Bible came from. For instance, the flood of Noah's day was already around for about 2,000 years before the Hebrews wrote about it. So we can trace almost all of what we call Judaism back to the Sumerians, Phoenicians, Canaanites, Hittites, Assyrians. It's just a great collection. And incidentally, there nothing could be further from the truth than when someone tells you that the Hebrew religion was the first monotheistic religion, and in the Hebrew religion, God was one God, one Yahweh, one Jehovah. Nothing is further from the truth. In point of fact, the rabbis will tell you that is absolutely not true at all. I've talked with so many rabbis who will tell you that the Hebrew tradition had many gods, had many different. There was even a female divinity, a female deity connected to Yahweh.
Jordan, let's clear up the term Semite. What does that mean?
Boy, well, again, it goes basically to a half, semi. And Semite means basically that it's a half of one thing and half of another, or a combining of other things. So it's semi this and semi that. I'm fascinated with this question, or the second part of this question on Yahweh, because
okay.
It has to do with sexual reproduction. It has to do with sexual terms. And a lot of people are not aware of that. The rabbis are, and many of the rabbis are. And it has nothing, and that's why in the Temple of Solomon, if you look at the outlay of the Temple of Solomon, in fact, the most holy is referred to as the Shekinah light, the Shekinah. Shekinah in the Hebrew was the presence of female sexuality or female reproduction was Shekinah. And consequently, the most holy was the female womb. The female womb was the most holy, or the place of female reproduction. And Yahweh was the male, dominant male reproductive force in the most holy, or the female womb. It is all very much ancient sexuality, ancient sex. It has to do with the reproduction of life. There's nothing wrong with that, but you need to understand where these terms came from, and that there is no God who's going to get you because you've been bad. You need to educate yourself as to where these teachings and concepts have come from. And
well, that,
I'm telling you, it's fascinating.
That goes right into Christmas, when Santa Claus will check his list twice to make sure you've been good.
Right. And Santa Claus comes from the north, and he wears red. And if you take Santa and move the letters around, you can come up with Satan. So it's a fascinating story of where ideas have come from.
It's amazing. All right, we're getting ready. Thank you, Rich, for the call.
Okay.
I appreciate it. We're getting close to a break again here. Again, the phone number for Jordan's books, Jordan, 1-800. Give it to us.
Oh, I'm sorry. 1-800.
Yeah.
551-5328. And I would remind everyone that this is the 24 hours a day, and you will hear the person say Med Marketing or MED Marketing,
mm-hmm.
and that's my company, and you can tell them you'd like to have the book the church does not want you to read. That's $19.95 plus $4. That's $24.95. The book your church does not want you to read. And again, it's 800-551-5328.
Okay, time for our last break. We'll be right back with Jordan Maxwell. Okay, we've got 4 minutes, and Virginia is on the line from Virginia Beach. And Virginia, it's your turn to speak to Jordan Maxwell. Go right ahead.
Thoroughly enjoyed your program tonight.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I won't take but a minute, but I've always heard my mother speak of Old Christmas. She would not take her Christmas tree down until after Old Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I've heard her say that you could go into the barns on the old Christmas Eve and actually see the animals kneeling. Mm-hmm. And I've heard her say, and there's a little village in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. They still celebrate Old Christmas every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to mention that to you tonight, and I enjoyed it very much,
well,
sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Virginia.
And thank you.
Thank you. Fascinating stories, and many, many of those stories are very, very powerful truths in them. So this is a fascinating world we live in. I would like to make an offer for those listening now. Normally I wouldn't do this because it's going to be a bit of a problem for me, but I'll do this. If you would like to order the book for $19.95 plus $4 postage and handling, $24.95, you call the 800 number. They'll tell you if you don't have a credit card, they'll tell you where to send the check. And you call and order the book. I will myself send you the photocopies of the documents, which I have collected from the reference works on the chief cornerstone to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt, you read it for yourself and understand the documents for yourself, that the chief cornerstone or the Messiah is the triangle on the pyramid. I believe this information is profoundly important, and I will throw that in as a freebie if you want to order the book. But I'm going to give you to Monday. After Monday, the offer is off.
So okay, do they need to
order?
What do they mention in specific, Jordan? That they'd like the book and the special offer?
Yes.
Okay.
The book and the special offer. And tell them, just say that you'd like to have the book and the special offer by Jordan Maxwell, and you want to order it, and give them your credit card over the phone, or tell them, they'll tell you where to send the check. And that's $24.95, and again, you can call any time between now and Monday evening when the offer is off.
All right, you better call them and tell them.
Yeah, you better call now, because I'm going to do this for you.
I mean, you better call the fulfillment house.
I'm going to tell them that I'm making a special offer they were not expecting.
All right, well, that's very nice. 1-800-551-5328. And we just have about a minute or so. Let's give Tony a shot from Las Vegas. Tony, as brief as it's ever been in your life.
Okay.
I'll be as brief as I possibly can. I agree with Jordan, everything you've said tonight. However, I was curious what your take on this Moptha machine that was re-edited in the Bible several times until it was reinterpreted for us by our religious leaders, the
All
machine
right.
that spat out some kind of white food. And
All right, the mana. Yes.
Yeah, that's
okay.
It. That's
All
it,
right,
Jeff,
thanks,
thank
Tony.
For taking my call.
All right. Jordan, you got 20 seconds.
Well, let's save that for the next time around. Let's do it.
Fair enough. All right, yeah. Tony. You're going to have to keep listening.
We want to give.
Because Jordan's going to do that next show. All right.
Yeah, let's do it next show.
We'll do it next month or so, Jordan. And another brilliantly insightful and fact-filled program. Thank you very much, Jordan.
Thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Good night. And thank you again, all of you, for being with me tonight. I'll be back Sunday night. It's Friday. Gee, I get a day off tomorrow. We'll be back Sunday night right here. And we'll be talking to a gentleman that you may have heard on other talk shows, but we're going to do it differently here at the end of the line as we usually do. His name is David John Oates, and he talks about the miracle of reverse speech and what it's all about. And this is a very profound subject, so we'll see you Sunday night on many of these same stations for another edition of The End of the Line. Until then, have yourselves a great night, and good luck.